When last have you read a whole book? We're going to read a whole book. Now you can say to someone, we read a whole book in the church tonight. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, also to Appia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your love for all his holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus. I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. Can you say every good thing? There's so many good things we share for the sake of Christ. Look at this. Can I say one day you were all alone. You were on the edge of a pit. It was a deep, endless pit. Christ Jesus found you and pulled you into a whole new life. You think you deserve sitting here? He says, when we were dead in our transgressions, he found us. Look at the blessings we have. It's unbelievable. The riches, incredible blessings. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. It is as none other than Paul, an old man and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, that I appeal to you for my son, Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he has become both useful to you and to me. I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do would not seem forced but would be voluntary. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He's very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as fellow man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. And if he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, would you charge it to me? I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back, not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I ask. And one thing more, prepare a guest room for me. Isn't that beautiful? Prepare a guest room for me because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your very prayers. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings. And so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. And the grace of the Lord Jesus be with your spirit. Isn't this stunning? How is the language of this incredible letter? Before we can speak about that, I want to pray. Lord Jesus, may what we read not just be beautiful words and letters, but may it be filled and drenched by your spirit that will come change our hearts, change our minds, and change our lives. Father, would you come now and lead us as we go through your word? I pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I just love the language of this church. Something of this message, I would say, the language of the New Testament church. I mean, if you can hear nothing else, maybe you'll forget all the good points, and maybe I don't have good points. But whatever I say tonight, would you capture and listen to the language of this New Testament letter? It is stunning. If you look closer at it, I mean, there's words here that are a little challenging. Paul, a prisoner. It's not a word that many wants to hear. Paul, a prisoner. In this day and age of all glitz and glam in the church and the beauty and the prosperity message, we don't preach about prisoners. Where I come from, there are many prisoners. This lady, unbelievable. This story, this lady. Can I ask you, I don't know what her name is. Can we, even tonight, can I ask you to pray for this lady? How amazing that she can feel the tangible presence of the Spirit of God in the midst of nothing. Christ alone, my cornerstone. We sing it boldly in church. And yet, when I'm weak, will you make me strong, God? What if I'm a prisoner? What if you and I were prisoners? How would we respond? Paul is in jail writing this letter, a fellow prisoner for Christ Jesus. We have a man, he's 66 years old. Beautiful man. Got himself into bad trouble where he is. But bad trouble in where we are, not necessarily in other places. But he got himself into debt. I don't know if you're in debt here today. But in Qatar, if you're in debt and you can't pay your bills, you go to jail. And you stay in jail until you come out. And then you still have to pay your debt. Even your jail term doesn't help. This man is stuck in jail and his wife is desperately sick. Amazingly, God has provided just every week. There's offering after offering. He's a prisoner. He's in jail. My wife and I get to go and visit him recently. We meet a man. We say, this is a desperate situation. We've got the embassy working on it. All sorts of things happening. And we go up and we meet the prison guard. His name is Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr is a good name if you're from Qatar. Local man. And I say, good morning, sir. He says, yes. I said, I'm coming to see Ian. He said, are you coming to see Ian? He said, all Ian's friends are beautiful people. And he says this, Ian's friends have white hearts. And I thought to myself, how else would this man have ever had an exposure to Christianity other than a man who's come to prison and someone who's come to visit week after week, offering after offering, and he says, these people are different. They have white hearts. He couldn't say it differently other than he recognized there was a peace about them. In the midst of the storm, will Christ be my cornerstone? I don't know if you're a prisoner tonight, but the language of the New Testament says that even if you're a prisoner, Christ Jesus, your cornerstone, will bring you through. I want to just do something different tonight. I've got a few points, but if you're a prisoner tonight, I don't know what type of prisoner you might be. Just stand right now. I want to pray right now for you. Don't be shy. Standing before God. Thank you, Jesus. Father, once I was a prisoner, your blood was shed, eternally shed. Once and for all, Hebrews 10 tells us. Once and for all, a sacrifice was made. And he made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Father, tonight, I pray that people would be being made holy in this place. No matter how good or bad English that is, I pray tonight, Jesus, that prisoners would be set free. In moments and situations that the cornerstone we sing of tonight would become the cornerstone upon everything of their lives that would be measured from here on forward. Nothing else, God, but you, Christ Jesus. And so I say, tonight would prisoners be set free in the name of Jesus Christ. And can I say, no matter what it is, can you leave it now? You're free. The blood of Jesus sets you free. Indeed, those who are free indeed, in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you sit? Read further. It's beautiful. I love this picture. The next thing, I'll carry on. I'm getting distracted already. Then he says, Timothy, our brother. Isn't it wonderful? Paul's apostolic partner. He's a young man. Paul has recognized everything upon him. But he's not just a brother, he's a dear brother. Isn't it wonderful? The church has language of dear brother. Yeah, I grew up in the church. I wasn't saved. For 27 years I was in the church. Was not saved. And I used to hear brothers and sisters, brothers and sisters. And it used to get me. What is this? And I've got wonderful brothers. I love them dearly. Blood brothers. But then I got saved. God knitted me into a community. And I discovered what it meant, what a dear brother is. Can I say to you tonight, if you're seated here and you do not have dear brothers in this place, I want to tell you, find dear brothers. There are many here. There are many here. If you're a student in this city and you think you've come here for 3 years or 2 years, I'm getting my degree. Some of you, 8 years. That's all right. That's all right. You're free. Can I say tonight, would you be a dear brother? Yeah. We'd be a dear brother. The language of the New Testament is dear brother. Fellow prisoner, dear brother. Isn't that beautiful? That's what God calls you tonight. I'm not going to pray on this right now, but I want to say to you, find a brother. The King has not called us to walk alone. He's called us to walk with friends. He's called us to walk with many. Isn't that beautiful? Goes in the next language. Third one. Dear friend. Paul writes, he says, to Philemon, our dear friend. When I read this and I started seeing these, I wept. I said, look at this. The language of this Paul is not this big guru theologian that writes and commands and orders. He's a man that when the Ephesian elders come to him in Miletus, which is a long way, they weep on the beach. They weep together. There's a man here, I don't know where you are, Simon, but your brother-in-law, Roscoe Banks, a beautiful man, he was an elder with us, and they just left to go back to London. I wept because he's my dear friend. I didn't know him 4 years ago, but in these 4 years, he's become my dear brother, my true brother, and my dear friend. And I know we're going to journey together for many years. And in the church, God has netted us. The gospel has brought us together. And he became such a true dear friend that I have never discovered friendship like it. I have a credible man that I love dearly. He planted the church in Qatar. His name is Dave Wallen. One of the favorite things he used to say is this, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. I want to say to a lot of young people here tonight, I was also at Universiteit. I was a good one. I was at Stellenbosch. But I mean, that's okay. No, I love you. No, take that back. But just scrap that off the record there. But show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Some of the friends that you'll find are not going to be good for you. And that doesn't mean we become a holy club and a holy huddle where we all huddle together and we never get out there. But I want to say to you, some people God will bring, or people will come alongside you and in front of your way that will not be helpful for you. Now, we are called to be the salt and the light. Matthew 5:13 tells us, he says, you're the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled upon. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Do people light a lamp nor put it under a bowl? Instead, they put it on its stand and give it light to everything in the house. The same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Dear friends will have their light shine to you in the good and in the bad. I tell you, you recognize friendship quickly when things go bad. These are dear friends. You guys are dear friends. But I'm always amazed how dear friends you are to so many. You're a dear friend, Rory. You're a dear friend, Mal. Rory, we have three voices into the life of our church. We have guys that show us, and we have guys that know us. And Rory comes to show us, and he knows us. You're a voice into the life of our body and into our lives. Because he's a dear brother and a true friend. Find dear brothers and true friends in your life. And even here tonight, would you come and be knitted in? Because the language of the New Testament is true friend, dear brother. Bible says in Psalms 1, it said, do not sit in the council of the ungodly. R.T. Kendall, incredible thing, before I get to R.T.'s quote, I'll just finish it. It says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. And we read that and we go, a law? What is this? Law, law, law. Ah, Rob, law. Can I say, R.T. Kendall says, is the law is given to the free. You got to be free before you can get given the law. The church got it wrong around and wanted to give the law to make you free. But the law is given to the free. They were saved in the blood in Egypt, and then they get the word much later. So can we meditate on this word? Because this is where we get our counsel from. The Word and the Spirit that makes it alive in us. Sometimes it's not good if Pity listens to Yanni. And Yanni listens to Kwesi. Sometimes Kwesi just doesn't actually know. Sometimes we've got to go and trust as dear friends, as dear brothers, and the Word that we meditate on. And God starts to change us. You know, the world will not tell you to pray when things go bad. The world will not tell you to give when you are in need. The world will not encourage you when you have little. The world will not tell you to have faith when things look bleak. The world will tell you many things. But here in this language and in this church and in this body that Jesus wants to build, because he's coming back soon, it's dear friend and dear brother. How cool is that? Paul, a Jew, he's writing to Timothy. He's a Greek. He's half Greek, half Jew. He's leading a church in Ephesus, which is in Turkey. And then there's a work in Colossae planted by Greeks, Jews, Asians, Turkish, Roman citizens. And Paul's writing in chains. And he's writing to a Cypriot. It's just all mixed. Can I say that your dear friends and true brothers are not all the same as you? Sometimes you have a dear friend and a true brother that is quite different than you. And that doesn't just mean you... No, we'll stop there. But can I say, I challenge you to have dear brothers and true friends that are different than you. Because your perspective and your world will go this way. I thank God that we've come into a city where there's so many nations. And in our church, we have the privilege of having many nations in the church. And they all have the same in Bahrain. And there's brothers from Nigeria and sisters from Ghana and uncles from Canada and cousins from Venezuela and wherever you want to call them. And suddenly your world goes this. Look what God is doing. Dear friends, true brothers across the nations of the earth. That's what God wants to do in the New Testament church. And he writes to the fourth one, Appia, Philemon. Philemon's wife, she's a sister. Sometimes we in the church, we have seven brother, brother, brother. Can I say sisters, you're not excluded. Dear sister, she's a sister. Need a brush and sister so we can have tea and cook sisters. But brush and sister, dear sister. She's a true friend. Ladies, can you get true sisters in this church? Men, couples, true sisters need to be added to you. Paul writes in Romans, he says, I thank God for Phoebe. She was so awesome to us. I thank God for this one. And he starts naming the one lady after the other. They were so helpful to my ministry. And I tell you, the church is not a left-handed or a right-handed thing. It's all as we go together, journeying on the kingdom. Sisters, you're called to enlist in this New Testament church. Sometimes the sisters have been above the men. They've been front. Where's the men? They're not in some of our wives. My man will not do me. I accept that very dear for you. Sisters, brothers, journeying together, New Testament church Jesus is building. Earlier this year, I had a sad thing happen in our church, and a couple came to me and said, hello, Pastor Rob, I want to introduce myself. And I said, you can just call me Rob. And I said, yes, sons. And he introduced himself. I said, brilliant, so nice to meet you. I said, how long have you been here? He said, 3 years. I said, sure. It's been great to meet you. I said, what can I do for you? He says, I'm coming to say goodbye. I said, what do you mean? He says, we're leaving. This is our last Friday. I said, I'm so sad. I get to meet you on the last day I'm leaving. Are you leaving? 3 years and now we get to meet one another. He's going to Dubai, and I looked him up with another church, and the first week he went to Dubai, he hooked into the church. But can I say to you, some of you will be 3 years in, and you'll still feel like you're a stranger. Make yourself known. We have a saying in church that everybody's name is not known by the leader, but everybody's name is known. I don't know where you're sitting here, maybe in the back row. Sometimes we like to hide in the back row. God moves all the way to row 27 in church. He doesn't just move in the first three. Can I say, your name needs to be known. For you to become a dear brother, a true friend, a dear sister, your name needs to be known. Can you make sure that you plant yourself into a house? Into a house, because that's the language of New Testament church. How good is that? God doesn't call individuals only. He calls, and he knows our name, and he knows us from birth, and he knows us in our mother's womb, but he calls us as a community. Isn't that beautiful? The Israelites, all together in slavery, all together coming out. A whole community is saved. Each one, as they're covered by the blood, they're journeying together a community. I think too often we forget that God calls communities. God does call the individual, of course, but he calls communities on a journey. Loved it when Rory said we were going to journey together. This morning he was saying it in the church. I want to say, church, you are called to journey together. So don't be an individual sitting at the back wondering where I am at. Because I tell you, I don't find it in this letter. He's writing to you all. I've got so many points. I haven't even got to the point yet. But the next word, fellow soldier. Wow. How is this language? It's rich. It's dripping with life. It's fellow soldier. I have a young man. He came to our church. He was the first deacon in jail. We also have some people in jail. And he's released from jail. And he goes back to plant a church. I've spoken about him many times. His name is Navraj. And he was the first Christian from his village that got saved in Nepal. And he goes back, and every week that he goes to start, he goes back, by the way, his family wasn't saved. They come down to a meeting that we were all in India. They get saved. They go back to go and start a church. And they're in their village where there's never, ever in the history of the village been a Christian. And he plants a church. And every day and every week, for weeks, they come and say, we're going to kill you, Navraj. And he says, kill me, I'm dead already. I am dead already. I have got no fear. You want to kill me? Come kill me. He says, if I die, I'm going to heaven in here. I tell you, those are the fellow soldiers I want to be with. Those are the soldiers that I want to journey with. He says, I'm dead already. I want to say to you, are you dead already? Are you dead already? Because the language of the New Testament church is, I'm a fellow soldier. And a fellow soldier will lay down life for the king. Down his life for the king. I just want to stop you now. Perhaps you don't feel like a fellow soldier tonight. I want to ask you to stand. I want to pray that you'll be enlisted tonight. Are you covered by the blood? Perhaps you are covered by the blood. But it really has been all about your three favorite people, me, myself, and I. Tonight I want to say to you, you become a fellow soldier because you're linked into a house, into a body that's so much bigger, broader, wider, deeper, further than you. Because the purpose is the king and the kingdom, and it's coming soon. If you want to be enlisted as a fellow soldier tonight, just stand. I'm going to pray for you quickly. Where you are. Bless you, ma'am. Bless you, guys. Bless you, guys. Lord Jesus, some of us have gone AWOL. Some of us have been hesitant. Some of us have been busy somewhat. But somehow we've held back. Tonight, Jesus, we say, we're now holding back no more. Tonight we want to say we want to die for Christ because we want to live for Christ. Jesus, tonight I say, our hands are up as fellow soldiers of you, Christ Jesus, in this incredible journey you've called us to. So I pray for an enlisting tonight for every man and woman and child here. May you call them in. May you set free the bonds that so easily entangle, whatever they might be. Maybe it's fear. I break fear tonight in Jesus' name. Spirit of fear, break you in Jesus' name. Tonight, wherever you are, every one of these people, Father, I pray tonight an enlisting, incredible power and authority will come as a soldier of Christ Jesus called to this glorious gospel. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Beautiful. You may be seated. Just got a few more. Is that okay? You guys with me? You sleeping? We're ready. The rugby was yesterday. They're only doing the rerun tonight. Idols is gone. Pizza Sunday night. This is a good place to be. What do you do on Sunday nights here? Go to church, fellow soldier. How beautiful is that? And the church that meets at their home. Can I say, there's many churches that need to meet in homes. The city, this is a glorious city. But I tell you, this glorious city needs many more homes for Jesus. This glorious city needs many more homes to open up for Jesus. Oh, but this is my house and I have my privacy. Can I say, the New Testament language is the church that meets also in their home. Not just in their home. Some have made it all about the home. No, it's home and temple courts. But can I say, it's in the home where family gets connected. And it's in the home where it's a safe place to start growing. My cousin was here this morning. She's in another church in the city. And when I got saved here in Pretoria, 18 years ago, on my own in my room, my beautiful wife was at work. And when she came home, I said, this has changed. And I said, what do we do now? And I said, well, at least I know one other Christian, and that's my cousin and her and her husband. Because my concept of Christianity was so warped, I thought, who are all these hypocrites? Who are all these people? I don't know if I want to be a brother and a sister. And so God gave me someone who I love dearly. He gave me my cousin, and they opened their home. And we loved them, and they loved us. And slowly I started to discover that gospel music wasn't country music. And I started to discover all these incredible things on my journey. What is all this? And I couldn't believe all the incredible things that I started to discover because someone opened their home to us so we could start a journey together. The language of the New Testament is they meet in their homes. How beautiful is that? Paul, just a one-liner. You know, when you read in Acts 19, when he goes from Colossae. He's traveling inland. Colossae was about 160 kilometers away from Ephesus. And there's a one-liner, and it says, and he traveled from there. And then he goes from Ephesus. He goes down to, where does he go? He goes all the way down to, he goes from Colossae to Ephesus, 160 kilometers. And he goes from this church where he is now, I think in Philippi. He travels, that's a one-liner. It's 570 kilometers. If you can measure it on the map. So Paul's just a throwaway line. There's this home that opens up. There's a person that's gone to plant a church in Colossae, 160 kilometers away. And there's another man, Paul, who travels all the way through there and onward to Ephesus 570 kilometers later. They pay the price. They open their homes. They prepare to go. These are homes. These are people that are meeting in there. And churches are birthed because people open their homes for God. Philemon was one of the guys who got saved. And he's one of the guys who now they write to. His house is in Colossae, 160 kilometers away. Home groups are outworking of the gospel. Life groups, open homes, whatever you call them. I want to say there are many more here that need to start opening their homes. As the leaders call, and as your timing is right, and as the strategy fits, but I want to say many more need to be opening homes for the gospel. Students, old people, young people, poor people, rich people, white people, black people, Indian people, foreign people. Homes need to be open for the gospel. How else will the city be reached? We're going to just do it with our nice cappuccino. It works, but we need to do more than that. God wants to work through homes. It's not just home, it's not just church, it's all of that. We had a couple that relocated to Geneva, Rob and Ellen. And he's a chef. He's a German. He's a great German chef. And he's also a big German chef, as good chefs are. But he's got this beautiful young lady who's from South Africa, as beautiful ladies are from South Africa. And they go to Geneva for work. And they open their home. And today, 2 years later, there's a church that now meets in their home. Simple, 12 people. And when they had the first Swiss lady who got saved, they had to go and Google the salvation prayer in French. Because they didn't know how to lead her. He was German, she was Afrikaans. How would... And a French Swiss lady gets saved because someone opened their home. That's what happens. It's so much bigger than you and I. This story of the gospel is far greater, far more exciting, and it's definitely not boring. And I don't know if you and I, but when I was a student, I sometimes thought church was boring. Church is not boring. Perhaps you just don't quite understand the language of New Testament church. New Testament church language is on the move. Prepare to pay the price. Prepare to be a fellow prisoner. Prepare to be a soldier. That's New Testament church language. I want to finish just with one or two things. Philemon was a refresher of the saints. There are some people here that are refreshers of the saints. Nicole, you're a refresher of the saints. You refresh people. When they're with you, they are touched, they are changed, and people and the gospel is affected eternally because someone refreshes the saints. When people come and visit us, we have a lady that bakes rusks for our house. She refreshes my house. She's an unbelievable refresher of the saints. There's a man here called Erhard. Is he here tonight? He refreshed us yesterday. Amazingly arranged through Rory, and between them, they took us to the rugby. My family, can I say, we were only here for a week, but we feel like we've been on a two-month holiday. We've been refreshed. Even as we've served, but I'm refreshed because someone dared to refresh the saints. Now, I live in a place where it gets 50 degrees. So sometimes you need a lot of refreshing because, can I just say that in 50 degrees, one of the best ways to refresh is just to wear deodorant. You've got to use deodorant. And so I know it's winter now, but there's some of you here. No, there's not some of you here. But in the summer, there might be some of you that don't refresh. And if we call to be refreshers, we refresh in all ways. But what do you leave behind? What do you leave behind when you're with people? Do you leave a refreshing? Are you a refresher? Are you a negative person? Are you always someone that's always complaining, moaning, this, that? All you can remember, you don't remember all the good things, but you remember that one stupid. Can you believe the shirt Rory had on last week? I mean, just shocker. And then he goes and parades it like this. And we miss all the good things that he did. But we pick on the nonsense. What is that? That's not language of New Testament church. He says, Philemon, you're a refresher of the saints. I love people in church that are refreshers of the saints. I want to say to you tonight, you might be a stranger here tonight, but perhaps the person next to you needs to be refreshed. So don't check the deodorant first because it's cold. You're fine. You're smelling good tonight. But can we go much beyond that and start refreshing real things? Philemon refreshed him by his faith. Philemon refreshed him by the love for the saints. Philemon refreshed him by his partnership in the gospel. Philemon said, here I am, Jesus. How can you send me? I have countless examples of people that refresh. Many, 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 many. My question is this. If you want to be a refresher of the saints tonight, I want you to stand. Because I want to be a refresher of the saints. Maybe you think you are good, or maybe you can do it even better. Yeah. Good. Father, tonight as we stand here, we want to be like Philemon, refreshers of the saints of Christ Jesus, called by you, Christ, by your blood, paid and purchased. And tonight we say, I want to be a refresher of the saints. Perhaps you can say, I want to be a refresher of the saints. Father, would you use me? Father, would you lead me? And Father, would you cause me to affect saints? That joy is left behind. That the peace of God comes. And the power of your beautiful gospel is displayed. In Jesus' name. Amen. A lot of standing up and down. It's like singing old songs. Up, down, up, down. My last one, language of the New Testament church, is a rescuing church. Paul writes to Onesimus. Onesimus was rubbish. He was a runaway slave. You know what a runaway slave was like? A runaway slave lived constantly in fear. A runaway slave was always scared to face those that perhaps knew what he was like. A runaway slave thought he ran to a foreign nation and he can get away. I see that happening all the time in Qatar. People run to Qatar. They run away from their problems. If only I can get away. If only I can go there. It's tax-free. I can get out of my debt. They never get out of debt. They come there. I can get out of my problems. They never get out of their problems. You cannot run away. The mercy and the grace of God is that Onesimus in his runaway state is found by God. He runs away to a foreign city. He's a runaway who's a slave. Paul shares the gospel with him. He becomes a son. Do you know that Onesimus carried three of the letters of the New Testament? The runaway slave, the discard, the rubbish, the never worth of anything was the carrier of three letters of the New Testament. He carried the letter to Philemon. He carried the letter of Ephesians. And he carried the letter of Colossians. He thought he was worth nothing. Some of you think, what can I do for the gospel? Some have been running everywhere. A slave ran away. God found him, saved him, and commissioned him. Now I want you to take my letters. Some of you have come to this city. If only I can get away. Ek was van die platteland. If only I can get away. In that city, you can never run away. The only place of safety is where the King finds you, where he calls you, where you respond, and where he commissions you. That's the place of true destiny. It's a place of true peace. What can I do? Or could you be the best bag carrier then if you can't do anything else? Could you be the best rusk baker if you can do nothing else? Could I be the best driver of the sick to the hospital if I can do nothing else? Could I be the one that will say, I'll light the fire when you're dry here outside, if nothing else? Because this king says, I'm in the business of calling runaway slaves and making them world changers by carrying letters of the gospel. I write the letters on your heart, and that letter will set many free in different cities. I don't know about you, but I want to be like Onesimus. I want to be found. I'm glad I was. I ran away to a city in a way. Actually, I didn't run away, but I didn't know what I was going for, and I didn't go for anything but the gospel. Although I prayed all the time, God, would you use me? But I arrived in Qatar with my Afrikaans Bible and my little song book with Afrikaans songs. Who knows you're not going to evangelize Qatar with your Afrikaans Bible and three songs? My kids were beautiful. They knew all the songs. I sang them to them every night. I'll share it with you later, my buddy.
It's a family, brothers.
We're brothers. The problem is it's 13 years ago and I've forgotten them. I only know English once now. But even in that situation, God finds us, calls us, and commissions us. Students tonight, you've come far, many of you. People have come to this city from other places, many of you. Felt like I can't really fit in, many of you. Felt like I can't really make a difference like I used to, many of you. We prayed, Rory mentioned three pastors' kids. I don't know, is there any other pastors' kids here tonight? Don't be shy. Any other pastors or Dwemini kids, put your hands up high. Look at that. Look at this. I want you guys to stand quickly, all of you, all the pastors' kids, all the elders and pastors' kids, where you are. Just look at this. Look at this. Unbelievable. Jesus, I thank you for heritage. I'm just going to pray for them. Please forgive me if you're not a pastor's kid. I'm just going to pray for these guys now. Thank you. I thank you for heritage. I thank you for multi-generational impacts of the gospel. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for all of them. Some of them have even felt I've run away. Some of them felt like, what can I do? Father, I tell you tonight, will you enlist them? All of them. Every one of them. Every one of them. Every one of them. Every one of them. Beautiful. In Jesus' name. Who else wants to be like Onesimus and say, I want to count for the gospel. Wherever I am, I want you to stand too. Father, you changed the world with 120. Father, you changed the world with your son and 12. Father, here's a church, young and old, saying tonight we're not running away no more. Tonight we're not always just striving for the next thing anymore. Tonight, Jesus, we're saying, here we are. Once we were slaves, now we are sons and daughters. Tonight, would you commission some of us now? In fact, would you commission and enlist all of us into this gospel? Every one of us, God. Pray tonight for a stirring across the hearts of every man, woman, and child in this place. Of enlisting, I break slavery in Jesus' name. I break slavery, I denounce it in the name of Jesus, and I say freedom. Freedom, freedom in the gospel in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray that there'll be extraordinary stories of cake bakers, gospel preachers, bucky riders, business deliverers, professors, doctors, housemaids, garage servers, whatever they might be, who will say, here I am, what can I do, God? And you enlist them tonight in Jesus' name. Father, we want to see our city affected, and we just want to see this nation changed. Father, I don't think there's a person here that wouldn't put their hand up when we say we pray for our nation. Father, and you're saying tonight that you are the reason why you're in that nation, because I have love and purpose for that nation. Let us come tonight, Father, as we come by your, as we come to you and we surrender our hearts, Father, may you come by your Spirit and release us tonight in this nation and the nations of the earth. No more running away. No more running away. Husbands, where you've been hiding and your wife has been doing all the leading, tonight, stand up. No more running away. Wives, where you've been pushing your husband like a slave trader, tonight, no more slave trader pushing, no more. Tonight, there's an enlisting in Jesus' name. Tonight, there's a calling like there was for Onesimus. And tonight, there's a release of life because of what you're doing, Jesus. I pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I'm going to stop there. I have so many things I can tell further, but I'm going to stop there because I think God is doing and done what he wants to do.